I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. It's Wednesday, June 1st. Welcome to June, and welcome to another episode of The Memo. We're back after a vacation.
It's June. Good Lord, what happened?
All month long.
Why'd you let that happen?
Rabbit. Isn't that what they say?
I guess it's summertime. Not officially, but in Mississippi it is.
I've never done that before.
What
rabbit,
that?
Rabbit.
What's that?
You're supposed to do that at the beginning of every month.
That's what? Familiar. You did that maybe on the podcast or something.
Oh, have I done it before?
I've never heard that before in my
familiar,
life.
It's familiar, but I couldn't remember what it was.
Rabbit, excuse me, three times, is one variant of a superstition found in Great Britain and North America that states that a person should say or repeat the word rabbit or rabbits or white rabbits or some combination of these elements out loud upon waking on the first... Oh, I messed up. Dang it, I was supposed
too late.
To when I woke up.
When you woke up? If you only
I've
say
undone
it
now.
If you only say it twice, you're going to die that day. Good knowing you.
Out loud upon waking the first day of the month, because doing so will ensure good, and it just, that's it. Doing
good
so
luck,
will ensure
good fortune.
You don't know. It just says doing so will ensure.
You only
good.
Said it twice, so you're going to die at the paws of a rabbit.
You have to hit see more for
paws?
The duration.
Rabbits have paws
that month.
Feet.
Rabbit paw.
Feet.
Rabbit foot.
Foot.
Lock your rabbit foot.
All I know is the rabbit from Monty Python and the Holy Grail is coming after you now. You're
oh,
dead.
Good.
Donnie
Look
Darko.
At the fangs. No, that Donnie Darko rabbit after me.
That rabbit's dynamite.
It's a rabbit. Look at the bones.
The big pointy teeth.
Remember the first boy. Time I ever watched that as a small child thinking, what am I watching?
I was in high school when I first watched it.
No, I was like six.
My youth minister introduced me to it.
I mean, it's a fantastic movie.
Is it an African swallow or a European swallow?
I don't know that.
I don't know.
We do an entire podcast quoting the movie.
We could, definitely. There was a period of probably my sophomore year where all I did was speak in Monty Python quotes and everybody hated me.
My kids can quote Monty Python extensively.
Then you're a good father.
That's all
Maynard,
I need to know.
Consult the Book of Armaments.
Chapter 4, verses 9 through 13. And St. Agatha went up on... Okay, no, we're not going down the road. We're not, I promise myself. Never again. Not after
one,
the year of 2001.
Two, five, three, sir. Three.
We're back after Veterans Day. And Memorial Day. We're back after
that,
Memorial Day.
That tweet we had.
What?
That we should have had a memo.
Oh, yeah. That was my former brother-in-law that tweeted that. That we should have a Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Memo dash.
Yeah. It's clever.
Yeah. He's a clever guy.
Memo real.
He's smarter than me. What?
I think that day is a little bit more important than our podcast.
Yes,
I'm just put
it
that
is.
Out there. As
it
was
is.
Veterans.
Yes.
Veterans Day, very important. Was
people
on
often
day.
Confuse the two.
Yes.
Which, you know, I mean, it's good to honor veterans whenever, but Memorial Day is specifically set aside for those who have fallen
yes.
in the line of duty. So, anyway.
Sunday, good. Monday, good quiet day around here, Chris.
Yeah,
no fires to put out.
Everything was good.
Excellent.
Good, good service. I guess you were at the service.
I was.
Also.
Yeah. I was. I try to go out there every year. It gets hotter every year out there.
Mm. Yeah.
Next year I may donate tents to the city just to, from Busy Lad just to stand under one. It's
seriously.
It is a heat wave out there each year. But it's a good service, and it's always...
It's good?
Yeah. Everything was very excellent and always well put together. Last year, I remember... it was Memorial Day last year, yeah, when all the tornadoes hit and Amory and all that flooding. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's right.
It was a change this year from that. So how did you spend your Memorial Day weekend, Bradley?
Packing some boxes up, sitting around the house, putting off work.
Yeah.
Putting off mowing the lawn.
Shouldn't say that on the air.
That's still need, no, not work here, work at home. Putting off chores.
And that's backpedaling. That's fun.
I try to avoid talking about the San Francisco Giants too much on this podcast because it would bore most people. But Memorial is a big day for the Giants and Tupelo.
Yeah.
Tupelo's Chris Stratton made his major league debut for the Giants.
Sure did.
Actually watched it here at the office while I was working, but looked great too. Pitched an inning, struck out two of the three, retired all three batters he faced, struck out two. Looked really sharp. So. That was kind of a special day for him and the Stratton family and Tupelo and the Giants.
Yeah, former Tupelo High and Mississippi State standout. John L. Pitts basically had the scoop on that, too, that he'd gotten called up over the weekend.
Saturday
morning, the news broke that he's gotten called up, and then he made his debut on Monday.
The Chronicle, which I read the Chronicle's Giants coverage all the time, and so it was really cool. I pulled it up to see what they were reporting, and I see, according to the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal.
Nice.
That was pretty cool. Yeah. I took a screenshot.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Mm-hmm. And he made his debut in relief there. Curious, I know he got brought up because Matt Cain went on the DL. I don't know when he'll be back. I know there's been a little bit of chatter that maybe Chris will start in his spot, which I think is due today.
It's tonight. Yeah, tonight. And it's not. It's going to be the guy Suarez.
Albert
Suarez, who had been their long reliever.
Yeah.
So basically they moved Suarez to become a starter and pulled Stratton up as a long reliever.
I got you.
They're about to activate Sergio Romo, who's kind of their big setup guy. Yeah. He's going to be activated on Friday, so I'll be watching kind of closely to see what that means for Stratton.
Yeah.
The thing, though, is they might keep him because they don't really have anybody else in the bullpen who would be a long guy. And so for that reason, that might save
Stratton.
Stratton
was
a
starter in the minor leagues and going back to college, and I could see him as a long reliever at the major league level. But hopefully he'll be able to stay up. I mean, he could get sent back down to AAA, how these things work. But
even if he does, having had this experience, having it under his belt, it's kind of like the first call-up is the hardest one to get, you know, and so now they've got that under his belt. It kind of changes everything, changes kind of the whole paradigm in terms of how he's viewed in the organization and everything else. So.
Yeah, former first-round pick, his 20th overall in the, was it the 2012 draft, I think it was?
Yeah, it was, and then he got hit, of course, got hit in the head in line drive and batting practice a couple weeks after that, or, you know, right after he started, and that has really slowed up his progression to the majors. He lost some velocity on his fastball and kind of wasn't the same pitcher. So so he's kind of slowly been coming back. They said he hit 94 on Monday, which is kind of as hard as he's been throwing probably since he got hit.
Always had a good arm. Sign. Yeah, my son is a big fan of his now because a couple of months ago we were in McAllister's getting some sweet tea, and Chris happened to be in there. And Chris saw me, and we said hi, and Drew was with me, my son, and talked to Drew for a minute and shook his hand and everything. And Drew was like, man, I wish I'd had a baseball with me, because it was his first big league player he'd gotten, his first professional baseball player he'd gotten to meet. At the time, Chris was, it was the off season, just before spring training, I think. But Chris is a super nice guy, too.
Yeah.
Great kid.
Yeah, he is. You obviously covered him at State.
Yeah.
I had interviewed him one time right after he got drafted, and I just I was really impressed by his
His whole family is the same way.
Yeah.
Lee Stratton, former basketball coach at Tupelo,
basketball
several
coach,
years
principal,
ago.
Transportation director. I knew him real well on the education beat.
Right.
In fact, he and I have been we've been texting back and forth about the Giants since he was drafted, and so this week particularly, it's kind of been cool.
And he was there on Monday. I think the whole family was there.
They were,
they played. It was in Atlanta.
It was. In fact, they flew out to Denver on Saturday as soon as Chris got called up.
Yeah, just in case he pitched.
In Atlanta,
So they've been following him around. I know they're in Atlanta this week and going to
St. Louis
for a
three-game
set on Friday.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'll be there Saturday.
Oh, that's right. You got the. Yeah. So you decided to go this weekend.
We're going. Yeah.
Good deal.
Excited about it.
Maybe you'll see him pitch. That'd be sweet.
That'd be cool.
Anyway, we got a good show today, my friends. We got Adam Robison to talk about his In Focus photo essay of the Ironclad Tattoo Gallery. Cool stuff there. We've got Zach Orsborn talking about the plant of seed, and we've got Jenna Parsons talking food because it's Wednesday. And since we didn't have a show Monday, I'll do crime reports today, Derek.
Yay!
Fun times on the crime beat. So,
let's do it.
All right. By the way, I need to remind you that today's show is sponsored by Shoppers Value Foods, formerly known as Palmer's. The locally owned grocery store still offers high quality selection, great customer service, and low prices. Visit Shoppers Value Foods on East Main. Welcome, Zach Orsborn, into the program. Welcome back, Zach. What's up?
How's it going, Brad?
Hey, I'm all right, man. I want to talk with you about this Plantaseed story that ran on, what was that, Sunday?
Yeah, Sunday.
Good-looking layout, by the way. If y'all noticed the design in the journal, Zach did that as well. He wrote the story, took the photos, laid out the story. One man band, so to speak, right there. Zach of all trades. Nice.
That's my Twitter bio.
I was going to say, I feel like that's been said before.
Well, and it'll be said again. The Plant of Seed, people may be familiar with it. I think it started, 6 years ago? Councilman Willie Jennings here in Tupelo started it up as a way for students to tell us a little bit about it, Zach. Kind of what is it? What does students do some work over the summer? What kind of stuff do they do?
there's 32 types of jobs in city government that they give these kids. And the departments are the PAL, Police Athletic League, Tupelo Fire Department, Tupelo Municipal Court, Bancorp South Arena, Public Works, Development Services, and Tupelo Parks and Rec. And what they do is for 8 weeks, they are placed into these jobs, and they are mentored by Councilman Jennings and human resource staff for the city government. They check up on them about 4 times throughout the 8 weeks.
Okay.
They talk to the department heads and all that good stuff.
Yeah. And it's got a pretty good high success rate. You quoted the number in the story, about 90% of the kids that go through this end up at a 2-year or 4-year college or trade school.
Yeah.
So it's obviously good prep.
Yeah. For there's been 100 kids to go through so far.
Wow.
And 90% of them have either gone on to 2-year, 4-year, or trade school.
Yeah, yeah. And not only do they learn about the work, learn about handling the money. When asked in the story, when asked what they do with their first paycheck, they all said, save it.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that.
I wish I'd learned that when I was younger.
Yeah, even when I was in high school, which wasn't that long ago, like, I wasn't thinking about saving money. And I guess throughout the last 5 years that they've really talked about saving money and stuff like that. But they all said save it.
Yeah, yeah. As I said, Willie Jennings, a Ward 7 councilman, came up with this idea after he got into office. He won the seat in 2009. He grew up the son of a sharecropper before integrations. I mean, he knows all about hard work and the value of it. And kind of what does he say about the importance of this program? Because, I mean, to get the local youth in something like this seems like a really valuable tool for them.
Well, one of his main things or main quotes that he kept saying was, you just don't put a seed in the ground and walk away.
Right.
He said, we mentor them and keep them focused on how important the job is to see a different way of life. By doing that, it spread to other kids. And what I realized when I talked to pretty much all these people is that planting a seed is a choice, and the more choices you have, the more positive experiences that you're likely to have. And that's what Councilman Jennings focused on.
And some of these kids go through it multiple years. I mean, it's not just a one-year thing necessarily.
Right.
Right.
One of the girls I talked to, Jayla Douglas, this was her second year to do it. And first year she worked at the Tupelo Municipal Court doing, like, filing and stuff like that.
Sure.
And she wants to be a criminology major, so it helps out to learn the court process, and she knows all the fines and fees and stuff that goes along with court stuff.
Yeah, okay. It's good stuff. It's a great story, Zach. And again, great photos and layout from the Sunday paper. You can read it online at djournal.com, and y'all can follow Zach on Twitter, by the way. It's @thedaily_Zach. Zach with a K.
Yep.
Zach of all trades. Zach, thank you.
Don't spell out underscore. Use the actual.
Yes, don't spell out underscore.
It's very confusing.
You have to say it.
Need to remind y'all about the two sports podcasts that we produce here at the Daily Journal. We've got Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast with Gene Phelps and myself. It airs every Wednesday. You can find it on iTunes, your podcast app, or preprally.djournal.com. Programming note, no Prep Rally this week. Gene is on vacation. So spring sports season just ended recently with baseball championships wrapping up. So we'll take the week off from Prep Rally, but we'll try to get back to it next Wednesday. And then Thursday, we've got double coverage. MSU and Ole Miss Sports Talk with Logan Lowry and Parrish Alford. You can listen to that on iTunes, your podcast app, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com.
Also want to remind you that the Daily Journal is excited to announce a change to our website that's going to allow more people to consume as much of our content as they want. We've recently removed the paywall at djournal.com. It's now free from the first click until the last. We've also increased our multimedia content by launching new products ranging from videos to webcasts. The website complements our print product, the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. You can visit djournal.com to stay informed on the latest news in Northeast Mississippi, whether you want a recipe for tonight's dinner or details on the city's plans to revitalize neighborhoods. You can find it all in one place at djournal.com. Come and stay a while, and you can leave more informed about the communities that we serve. Adam Robinson joining us now to discuss his new tattoo that he got. Adam?
That's correct.
Yes. Now, for privacy purposes, we can't ask you to show it, but...
I have the perfect tattoo for a podcast, so you just can't see
it. Brad's face?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Covers my whole back.
And then some. You spent some time in Saltillo with Ironclad Tattoo Gallery.
I sure did.
All right.
No, good interview, Adam. Yeah.
So you noticed.
I saw pictures. Dennis actually was doing a story on them. I guess you went out there with him.
Yeah, they had a business story that actually came out in Sunday's paper. But back in the fall when we first started doing the InFocus, you know, that's the first thing that popped in my mind that I wanted to do because, you know, that's an art. Mm-hmm. I mean, some people may not think so, but
it is.
You have to be completely skilled to do this.
Yeah. And, Chris has got four.
Yeah.
And himself,
yeah, when he was in jail.
Yeah, sure did.
So I'll stop right there. But it just never came through as far as getting something set up when, you know, I was trying to do it back in the fall. I was like, hey, you know, after a Friday night football game, they're just going to be cranking up here in town. And, you know, I could show up. I never could get the guy on the phone. But the guy that answers like, hey, yeah, we've got plenty of people here.
Yeah.
But the owner's not here. And I'm like, right. Well, why does he need to be there? You know? But anyhow.
Because he's inking them.
Yeah, this came around. And asked Jason, he owns the place. And he says, oh, yeah, sure, come on. So he had a guy, Clint, that he's working on here, Clint Wright. And text him, says, hey, you know, are you good with this? And, of course, there were some other people in the shop, in the gallery that night, getting some work done. And they were all cool with me being there and photographing them. And
what was he getting done? I don't know if you could tell. In the
with
picture.
Clint?
Yeah.
He was getting a band put on and had a little Aztec
was that
sort
a
of design to it. Yeah,
arm.
Went around okay. his arm. And
I'm not familiar with the lingo.
Yeah, he's I mean, Jason's perfectionist to getting it done right.
Yeah.
I mean, Clint showed up at 4 and they started working, and he went through a few or more stencils just, you know, okay, well, that's – I don't need the bands on this stencil. I just need the Aztec pattern. And then, man, he had it and sat down and started inking them up, and that was great.
So while I've got you in here, mm-hmm. I'm actually seriously going to get one or two tattoos, possibly this summer. My wife's got a couple, and I've been
– One or two.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I want to get two. I just got to decide.
I'd start with one.
I got to decide. Well, yeah, we'll do one at a time. But my wife has a couple. She got a few years ago. And so, like, now the pressure's on even more to get, which I've always wanted to, you know, I guess this is my midlife crisis. What I'm trying to get to is this guy would be.
Totally go.
Yeah.
Totally go.
Recommend him. Because you can, I mean, you can go really wrong on a tattoo artist if you're not careful.
Well, Chris did his own, so.
True.
Right.
So definitely not use Chris.
He just blames himself. So.
But yeah, it is a very precise, exacting art, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, he's got his skill down. He's so into it, so precise. I mean, he's on his game, man. I mean, if you're going to get a tat, go see him at Ironclad.
They're really big about their clients, too. Every year that I've known the Wilsons for a few years, they throw a party they call the Black Sheep Revival every year for just their customers and bring an axe to play. And they've actually just bought up more buildings in downtown Saltillo adjacent to Ironclad to open up a coffee and sandwich shop and event hall where I guess they'll be doing the Black Sheep Revival probably now. They're doing it themselves in their own building.
They talked about, you know, art classes for kids, and, you know, Jason's got a lot of ideas brewing in his head, and from what he said when I was there when he met with Dennis, he just never stops. He never stops thinking and evolving and just wants to keep going. And, you know, his wife Brittany's really cool, and she's a pretty good photographer, and they've got a lot of artistic skill flowing between the two of them.
Good stuff. So you're not going to show us what you got?
No. Yeah, close your eyes.
Okay.
Sorry, Maggie's in here. You can't show us.
It's just a battleship. Thanks, Adam.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
Today's show was sponsored by Shoppers Value Foods, a locally owned grocery store on East Main. The store recently changed its name from Palmer's, but the owners and the employees have not changed. The Palmer brothers are the third generation owners of the East Tupelo grocery store that was founded in 1957. They've teamed up with last year's Grocery Wholesaler of the Year and decided to go with their Cost Plus program. The store now sells its groceries 10% over cost. That has allowed it to add more variety, especially in the meat, produce, and dairy departments. Along with the name change came a refreshing of the interior, new signs, and better parking. Visit Shoppers Value Foods for high-quality selection, great customer service, and low prices. I need to remind y'all about Capital View, the daily journal webcast that we have each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capital Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. You can watch live on Monday afternoons at 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. The 2016 legislative session is now over, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol. Of course, with this past Monday being Memorial Day, we did not have a Capital View webcast, but we'll be back next Monday with that with Bobby Harrison.
Now time for today's news memo. For more on these stories, read your daily journal or visit djournal.com. Tupelo's Rankin Elementary School has been gutted since the school year ended in preparation of a major renovation. The school's building was constructed in 1952. It will receive much-needed renovations this summer thanks to the Tupelo Public School District's $44 million bond issue. HVAC units, ceilings, flooring, windows, and lights will be replaced throughout the school. The school's entrance will also be renovated to make it more secure by adding two sets of double doors. The renovation is the biggest project being done in the district this summer. Ole Miss football coach Hugh Freeze broke his silence about the NCAA investigation into the school's football program. Freeze spoke about it on Tuesday at the SEC's spring business meetings in Destin, Florida. He talked about owning mistakes, about his faith in his coaches, and about moving forward. The investigation includes two other sports, women's basketball and track and field, but most of the nation's attention has been on the football violations. NCAA alleges 13 football violations, including 9 that occurred under Freeze's watch as head coach. Freeze said he would immediately terminate coaches he thought were knowingly breaking rules. He is said to have no information to that effect right now. The Tupelo Police Athletic League was well represented at the recent national convention. Major Anthony Hill of the Tupelo Police Department was named the overall national 2016 Male Volunteer of the Year. TPD's Michael Russell was appointed to the PAL National Executive Board. Russell has overseen the Tupelo PAL chapter since 2005, and Tupelo is the only city in Mississippi with a PAL chapter. The National PAL Conference was held last weekend in Tampa. State revenue collections rebounded slightly in May, but the recovery does not seem big enough to offset a dismal April. According to figures from the Department of Revenue, the state collected $453.7 million in revenue in May. That is $4.3 million, or 0.96% above the official estimate. In April, the figures were $85 million below the estimate. The estimate is important because it represents the amount of money legislatures and Governor Phil Bryant budgeted to fund state government. Because of sluggish collections, Bryant has already been forced to cut the budget twice. Those cuts totaled $65 million out of the $6.2 billion state-supported budget. It was not clear whether May's revenue collections would force the governor to make a third round of cuts during June. And there will be a little turnover in the city of Tupelo's jobs this week, with 7 different people occupying the mayor's office in 7 days' time. Mayor Jason Shelton was married on Saturday and will be honeymooning in Hawaii for the week. Last week, he signed an order designating each member of the city council as a mayor for a given day. Ward 6 Councilman Mike Bryan serves as mayor today, followed by council members Markle Whittington on Thursday, Buddy Palmer on Friday, Lynn Bryan on Saturday, and Nettie Davis on Sunday. Willie Jennings, Davis, and Travis Beard have held the office earlier this week. Well, it's Wednesday.
Sure is.
Has nothing to do with anything other than the fact that we missed Monday and we're all missing a little crime reports in our lives, Brad.
Got to have our crime reports fixed.
Got to.
Yes, sir. And you can find them. You find lots of crime reports at tipsheet.djournal.com. But as we do every week on the show here, normally on Mondays, we're just going to hit some highlights, some of the best of last week. And so we've got some pretty good ones here. Derek?
Do tell.
Let's start with Morville. A Morville man said a male suspect came to his house uninvited. The suspect threw a brick at the air conditioner, broke the light bulbs on the front porch, and flipped over his Troy-built lawnmower. The suspect then entered the man's shop, stole his bicycle, and rode away on it.
The woods people are getting more outraged.
This could be a woods person, couldn't it?
I can see why he wasn't invited, though.
Yeah.
I can, too.
I wouldn't have invited him either.
I thought flipping the lawnmower was a nice touch.
Don't flip my Troy-built
lawnmower. That was a nice touch. On the blog, I called that rage art. Because
was it a riding lawnmower?
I don't know.
That's impressive.
If so, that was impressive. Guy's got some strength.
Yeah. He's all jacked up on Mountain Dew.
Or something. Yeah.
Surge.
Surge. Jolt. Remember Jolt?
Jolt Cola.
I remember Jolt.
I don't know if that still exists.
Yeah, I think it does.
It probably does somewhere.
You never could buy it here.
Yeah, I had trouble finding it when I lived in Louisiana
as a kid. You had to go Upper Tennessee to get Jolt.
Wow.
We'd always get it on mission trips.
Yeah.
I was going to ask if you have like a guy that would like make special trips.
Yeah.
You just go up to Knoxville and get us some.
Nice. Mission trips to North Tennessee with all the heathens up there.
Yeah. Well, you just pass it through. Well, we're in North Tennessee. Get some Jolt.
Nice. Okay. A patrolman responded to a West Jackson apartment where two men had built a fire earlier in the evening. After being told to put out the fire, they retired to a truck for drinking and playing music loudly. They were arrested for public drunkenness and taken to jail. Now, see, I did this all the time in high school and college. The difference, difference, I did it out in the middle of nowhere, not at an apartment complex in the middle of town.
Why did they start a fire in the middle of
it? They just wanted to start a campfire. I mean, this is what...
It's hot.
My people do. These
My people?
Rednecks.
Oh.
I'm an admitted redneck.
Classification.
We'd have, like, huge bonfires, and we'd drink and do whatever, play music loudly, but we weren't disturbing anybody.
I don't understand why they got in their truck to drink and listen to music wildly. Why couldn't they go in the apartment?
Maybe it was nice.
Where you wouldn't
maybe
be drunk
a,
in
maybe
public.
A, maybe it was a nice night. They figured we're on our property. We can't get in trouble.
No,
yeah, you can.
That's where you're incorrect. You step over that threshold, you are drunk in public.
Yes, you are. People can see you and hear you. So, too bad for them.
Unfortunate.
A McCullough Boulevard truck stop employee reported two people getting off the blue megabus. We've seen those around.
We have seen the megabuses.
Then shoplifting a set of headphones while on their 30-minute layover. The incident was recorded on video. Both were arrested. And they missed their bus.
Do they not give you that option on the megabus? Is the stewardess not, sorry, flight attendant, not
flight
come
attendant.
Back and offer you the peanuts
Does
or the...
Megabus have attendants?
I don't know.
I've never been on a bus like
Anytime
that.
Anytime I see a megabus, it's usually broke down on the side of the road. usually between Oxford and Tupelo.
Yeah, I hadn't seen it in Tupelo. What is the... I know it goes through Oxford and goes up 55. What is the Tupelo...
Stops off at that Love's.
There's a stop going to
Oxford.
I
see it over there all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have a Greyhound
double deckers
stop here anymore, do we?
No.
Yeah,
Greyhound. That's station. Actually about to be a restaurant.
That's right, it is. So, hey, Mr. Bus. Sorry, I'm staying in Tupelo, people.
For headphones.
Headphones.
They must have really wanted to watch Titanic or whatever the Megabus was showing that day.
I wonder what kind of movies they show on those buses.
The in-bus movie?
Nah,
probably terrible
still
ones.
Still got VHS.
Probably like
there.
Little Nicky or... Terrible movies.
We're going to be watching Waterboy today, kids.
Well, I'd watch that
one. My headphones. Going to steal them at our next stop.
All we have on here is Adam Sandler movies, yes. And they're all post-2000, so they all stink.
We have the complete collection.
County Road 373 Shannon woman said she continues to get phone calls from someone claiming to be with Microsoft who wants to clean the viruses off her computer.
I must clean your viruses.
She has told them not to call back, but the calls continue. They really just
want to Ma'am, I just really need to clean those viruses off your computer. Yeah. Also, I need you to list me in your will.
What's that commercial advertising for some kind of software that cleans viruses off your computer, and it's really cheesy? And
there's a bunch of those.
And the guy is like, thumbs up, cheesy smile.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called.
About. I don't know either.
Yeah. That's what that reminded me
if
of.
If you don't know how to get viruses off your computer at this point, you're... contacting.
I have a Mac, so I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, get a Mac. That's probably just the easier way to go about that.
Finally, this is a long one.
Okay, strap in.
Happening on North Madison. A lot of stuff happens on North Madison, doesn't it?
Mm.
An officer responded to a North Madison home around 9:30 a.m. for a dispute. The female said the male had taken her keys and hidden them. He adamantly denied it. The officer noticed a large stone in the backyard that had recently been moved and located the keys. He found the keys under the stone.
So he just hid them?
He hid them under the stone, I guess.
Way to go. Crack detective skills. That stone looks like it's been moved.
The officer told the man.
Way to go, Inspector Brown.
It made it easy for him.
Hardy boys over here.
The officer told the man to stay away from the woman for the rest of the day. Instead, the man made two anonymous, air quotes, two anonymous calls to 911 accusing the female of reckless driving and later of selling drugs from her car. When confronted, he admitted he was the caller and... He was charged with filing a false report. This guy is just a
He's just wanting to wreck her
around.
Whole day. Listen, but what if she was? What if this is true? You don't know that. Because
right.
He was obviously hiding her keys for some reason. He's trying to keep her from reckless driving. I mean, what?
Or he's a jerk.
Well, that's probably the case. Probably. But still, I mean, they kind of go in line with the whole issue to begin with.
Yeah, they do.
I guess.
So she's got immunity just because she called 911 before he did?
Yeah. It's his word versus hers.
I guess, but...
More inclined to believe the woman in this case.
Me too. Yeah, this guy has, like, no imagination either. I just want to hide him under this rock. I'm gonna call 911, and they'll never figure out it was me, because it's not like they can trace these
this
things.
This boulder's been moved.
It would have worked if he would just not moved the rock. Like, just put it, kept it in the same location, just put it underneath. Exactly. They never found it.
I mean,
I'd imagine there's probably a big crater where it used to be, and that's why they thought it was moved.
Just move the rock and put the keys under where it already was.
And, yeah.
I mean, his 911.
I don't mean to be helping the instance, but.
Yeah, I mean, after doing that, then he makes the 911 calls. That's not going to, people aren't going to immediately look at you, no.
Yeah, he should have when they came out. If
worried for her well-being, right, she's reckless driving, you know, which is, that's why I hit her keys.
That's why they did it.
I don't think he was probably not faking concern. He was like, this woman needs to go to jail. That's what he's trying to. He was trying to get her in jail.
He was trying to keep her from going somewhere.
Or something, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what it was. Maybe he was trying to keep her from leaving him.
He's wrong.
Yeah. So anyway, that's it for police reports. You can find more at tipsheet.djournal.com.
I hate to tell him, but if he's already at that point, I haven't hide her keys relationship.
It's over, bud. It's Wednesday. That means it's food day with Jenna Parsons. We got a food section in today's journal. You can check out all her stories at djournal.com as well. Hello, Jenna. How are you?
I'm good, Brad. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. You got a packed section today. We got a lot to talk about.
I think we have 18 recipes in today's food section.
Lordy. That's pretty good. Lots, yeah. Let's start with the big centerpiece story. Brewer Grocery. It's been around for about 41 years now over there in Shannon. Had several owners through the years. Did a story on it. Tell us a little bit about the current family, what they're doing with it. Maybe cooking more than past owners.
He is. He saw a need to all the industrial businesses in the area and to feed those workers.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, their plate lunches, actually, the way I didn't even know about Brewer Grocery.
Really?
But he, Trey McMasters, mm-hmm. and Mary Shannon, who's one of the cooks, were both nominated as Cooks of the Week after I put out the plea.
Right.
And so this woman called and said, oh, you've got to do Trey McMasters. And then she said, oh, you've got to do Mary Shannon. And she said, you know what? You just need to do a story on Brewer Grocery.
There
so
you go.
I didn't know where it was. I Googled it, and I drove over there one morning, and it was maybe 9:30 in the morning, and all the breakfast was already gone. And they were already working on the plate lunches, and people were lining up for plate lunches at 9:30 in the morning because they start serving not long afterward. But it's just old-fashioned country fried steak, hamburger steak, chicken and dressing, chicken and dumplings, fried pork chops, barbecue. Friday's their biggest day with all the barbecue.
So Friday's barbecue day.
Friday is barbecue day.
So it's just one of those country stores that you have a lot of these kind of stores around here in the South of Mississippi, Jenna. I think they're kind of the lifeblood to me of the food culture in a way.
Well,
you got your home cooking at home, but as far as, you know,
this is a pretty impressive little store.
Yeah.
There's not much place to sit down and eat. There's a table for eight inside. There are three picnic tables outside, but you can go in there and you can buy milk and bread and eggs and beer and shotgun shells and lunch and pay your water bill.
Pretty much everything you need right there.
Cheese. You can buy ground beef by the pound and bacon by the pound. So it's a little deli. It's a grocery store. It's a restaurant. It's really a gathering place.
Is it a gas station too?
It has gas. It has ethanol-free gas.
Okay.
And it's hard to find a parking place, though.
Yeah.
They pack them in.
Yeah, we've got a lot of good places like that. I know that I used to go a lot to that place down 45 Smokies. I don't know if it's called something else now.
I did a story about them several years ago. Excellent iced tea.
Same sort of place. And, you know, and this is maybe not what you would call gas station food because it's more for grocery, but it's kind of in the same vein. And I'll tell you, I don't know how it is in other parts of the country, but in the South, at least in Mississippi, gas station food is like some of the best food around. I'm not even going to lie.
Scott Morris keeps wanting me to do a story about gas station food.
Seriously, this one, the Chevron over in Oxford, excellent food.
Oh, the chicken on a stick?
No, not that Chevron. The other one down just off the square to the south side of the square, I think. No, the north side of the square. I think it's a Chevron. Right past the High Point Coffee down there on Jefferson and Lamar. Anyway,
I can't picture
the Chicken
where
on a Stick, too, and that Chevron station.
Right.
And then you got a lot of people like Dodge's. I can take it or leave it.
Well, Papa V's.
Papa V's, there's one. Well, great plate lunches at Papa V's.
The Johnny Robbins, who has Papa V's, was the past owner of Brewer Grocery.
Okay.
So maybe that's where he got his start or realized the need for that good plate lunch.
Yeah.
And I have to also mention that this is a meat and two sides and bread and drink and dessert, and it's $7.49.
Wow.
So
that's a good
it's
deal.
Reasonable.
That's blue collar food right there.
It is. It's a cool place. They certainly didn't need for me to do a story to give them more business because they've got plenty, but it's just a neat little place to pop into.
I might do that sometime. I'm always trying to check out more of the local places. You kind of get tired of the chain stuff.
I bet you could get Derek. Expensive. He likes blue plate lunches.
Oh, yeah. I mean, me too. So, yeah, me and Derek. Maybe me and Derek can do a podcast from Brewer Grocery. If they'll feed us for free.
No. I bet they would.
anyway, so, yeah, good story there on Brewer Grocery, Jenna. We have also a cook of the week. Her name is Jane Ford, and she's been cooking for a long time. Her age is in the story. I won't mention it here, but Miss Ford grew up in Etta, lives now in New Albany, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Over in Union County. And seems like, and you kind of touched on this at the end of the story, she has an enhanced sense of smell and taste, which obviously helps you be a better cook. Is that something you find common with really good cooks?
You know, I don't know if I've ever had anyone tell me that before, or in those words, but I have had other cooks say, I can go to a restaurant and have a dish and go home and duplicate it because I can pick out all the, not just the ingredients. I mean, a lot of times you can look at a dish and tell what the ingredients are, but when you can tell the spices or this has a little bit of lemon juice or a little vinegar or just whatever it is that makes it sing, some people can actually do that. I can't do that.
I can't do that. And I can't cook either. Just like if it tastes good, it tastes good. Can't tell you why. It tastes good. She really was influenced by her grandmother's growing up as far as cooking. Said she would ride her horse sometimes to the store, pick up a ham biscuit.
Her mama had a little country store, and she would stop by her grandmother's and get a ham biscuit.
Mm. And she loves to entertain. Her kids used to call her house the refrigerator. She's always got something prepared. That's fine.
Yes, yes. And she did even when I was there, when she opened up the refrigerator. Well, they were getting ready to go to Pickwick, so she was loading up. But she knows how to feed a crowd.
Wow, yeah. So that's the cook of the week, Jane Ford. And finally, your column, Jenna, beef and cheese paninis. That's all I need to know. I don't need to read it.
Yeah. Well, actually, in this cookbook that I have that's the 200 best panini recipes, there were two recipes for panini, and one was roast beef and cheddar and red onion, and one was roast beef and arugula with the creamy horseradish sauce. So I put the two together and did roast beef and cheddar and Vidalia onion and a creamy horseradish sauce. And for those who don't like horseradish, there's just a little, it's just a teaspoon and a half, but when you mix it with mayonnaise and sour cream and half and half and lemon juice, it's really, really nice.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I've had horseradish sauce or any other form of horseradish. Not that I can remember.
I'm trying to think of what it's typically served on. Is it a Reuben? Does a Reuben have horseradish on it? I don't know. Reuben is corned beef, and I don't like corned beef.
So. Yeah, I like corned beef, and I like Reubens, so I may have had it and just not known it.
Maybe so.
I can't pick out flavors. The sauce is good. I don't know what it is. It's horseradish. Anyway, y'all enjoyed that for Memorial Day, although you celebrated on Sunday, right?
We did.
Because your son had to work.
Son had to work on Monday, so we did our ribs and potato salad and baked beans and grilled corn on Sunday and laid back on Monday with sandwiches.
There you go. Good deal. All right. Well, Jenna, good stuff. Y'all can, again, read her stories here in the food section of the Wednesday Journal, also at djournal.com. Jenna, always a pleasure.
Thank you, Brad. You're the best.
Thanks. Hey, once again, need to remind you that today's show is sponsored by Shoppers Value Foods. The Palmer brothers have worked hard on improving every area of the store to make customers' experiences even better than before and to save them money on quality name and brand products. Visit the locally owned store on East Main Street. You'll love the look, love the prices, and get helped by the same people you knew at Palmer's. And that's it for the show, Derek.
That's going to do it for us. We'll be back tomorrow.
We sure will, buddy.
Promise.
Yes.
Whether you want us or not.
We'll be here.
We're like those viruses on your computer. We're from Microsoft. We're here to just talk in your ear all day.
Because Microsoft just cold calls people to remove viruses.
Well, they don't have a whole lot else to do these days.
Nah, that's true. Probably.
I did go in my first Microsoft store not too long ago. I did not know that
exist?
Well, I knew they existed. I didn't know that they had basically just taken the Apple down off of the Apple store and putting up the Microsoft logo because it's the exact same store.
Right.
Layout and lighting and design and everything.
Can't beat them, copy them.
Yeah. That's very true. So, Thursday?
Thursday.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
See you here, buddy.
I'll be here.
Follow us on Twitter, by the way, at DJournalMemo. Send us an email, memo@journalinc.com. Find all your news, sports, and entertainment in Northeast Mississippi at DJournal.com and on Twitter at DJournalNow.
That's the place.
Okay. See y'all tomorrow.
I will be here. Bells on.
All right.
Bells on. You're going to have
bells
on?
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.